This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Okay, so this is a big point here. She throws the SUV in reverse, and you put meaning to hit him, but not kill him. In her drunken state, her judgment is a hot mess. She wants to hurt him because she's angry and hurt. So we have the vehicle, we have phone data, and we have Reed's own statements. How are you getting to that she means to hit him? How do you show intent there on that piece, in your opinion?
In my opinion, how you show it is, number one, purposefully throwing a car in reverse that doesn't need to go into reverse. She needs to go forward. Number two, accelerating, pressing on that accelerating and accelerating up to 24 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who has gone in reverse, 24 miles an hour.
It's a lot.
Yeah. It's not slow. It's a lot to even control your vehicle. So that's number two. Number three, we have the voicemail messages that were made shortly after. They're also going to show the litany of unanswered calls and of text messages. I think it was 50, on the heels of this, yes, to just show somebody unhinged, right?
Yeah.
And then we also know that then we are going to have the information from the car data, I believe, that's going to show that she hit something and that she was obstructed, or that it tried to stop her, right? This vehicle has one of the vehicles we have has it.
Yeah.
Your vehicle might have it, Tony.
Yeah, it does.
Where it warns you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a part, even when you park, beep, 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 you're getting too close, right?
Yeah.
Or you go in reverse, or even when you're driving, it'll beep, beep, beep. You're too close to that car.
I go in my garage, it does, because my house is clean and my garage is like hoarders because it's all
really?
These Amazon boxes is what it is. It's empty Amazon boxes because I can't fit enough in my trash can every week. So they pile up. So my car alerts me there's Amazon boxes in my garage. But yes, to your point, yes, yeah, it senses that without a doubt. I want to talk about that car data because we haven't heard it come out in court yet. We know it's going to be showing, and that's going to be very interesting. And we had kind of some car data in the first one, but we didn't have anything that says the car shows an impact or shows a warning signal or anything like we're just talking about here. Are we going to get that? Do we know that data exists, we're going to see that come up in court? Because if that shows that, that's going to be a hard one to get over.
Right. That's what they're indicating.
Mm-hmm.
The initial time they didn't have the right extraction done, for somebody who knew everything about Lexuses. Now we do. And remember another critical key, I think, that's an indication about Karen. All of a sudden, and you and I have talked about this, we hear about U2.
Mm-hmm.
We hear about this music blaring because that's how she always is.
Yeah.
I think that has specifically to do with why the defense is going to say she didn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't hear the warning beep. She didn't hear anything. It was blaring. Well, if you're in a discussion or an argument with somebody, would you really have your music blaring? Typically, you're going to turn it down so everybody, they can hear you can hear them. So I think this was a ruse. We didn't hear about it the first go around, and now all of a sudden we're hearing about YouTube blaring. I think it's going to be because of this new vehicle data they know about.
They're trying to get ahead of it. I see what you're saying. Yeah. What about the argument here? What about, because again, it was odd that you're going that fast in reverse. Could one argue that she didn't realize it was in reverse in her drunken state and was ready to leave, and she, slams on it thinking she's going to go forward and whoops, goes back and hits John, not intentionally, but hits John and realizes she hits John. Could that be another argument here that it wasn't intentional, but she did in fact do it?
I mean, you could try to argue that they were either in the park position or... But my understanding is it was park to drive to reverse to drive.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree with you. That's going to be important. But, this is her vehicle. It's not somebody else's, familiarity. And then, it's something the defense can always argue. I don't think I would buy it, but I'd be willing to listen to the discussion.
I mean, it seems like it could be plausible in this scenario, but I mean, you have a lot of other things where you get to the point now you're arguing someone's mindset, and she wasn't in a good one at that moment in time. Even in a sober state, it would not be a good mindset, but then you add all the liquor in there too. I don't know. She knows she hit him, but thinks he'll get up. He's tough after all. He's big and strong. She only clipped him. And of course she said that. Maybe I clipped him. He didn't look mortally wounded. Another statement that she said. Then Reed drives away. Reed statement, vehicle data, and cell data all back up those statements. And this is where it gets interesting. Reed returns, or later returns, to see if he ever got up. Reed is starting to worry because John's not home. She drives by and sees him still there, waiting on the car data, which we're waiting on to see if there's data that shows this. She calls Carrie Roberts at 5 a.m., sharp screaming, John is dead. Of course, testimony does back that up. But what about this return to the scene? Do we have the data on that yet? That she left the scene and then drove by again? I mean, I've heard this, I've seen this. Clear that up for me, Jen.
Yeah. So again, this is my opinion of the order of events and what happened. Mm-hmm. I think that is how she made the conclusion that she ended up telling Carrie he's dead. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also why she knew exactly where to look for the body. I think this is why she was so completely panicked. Mm-hmm. I just can't buy that she would have been this completely panicked if she hadn't seen his body. Was it on a drive back by? That is why I wrote, we're waiting to see that. But mm-hmm. was it merely because she actually looked and saw him after the hit mm-hmm. and would have felt it, by the way,
yeah.
On a vehicle? I mean, you feel it when you run over a squirrel.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was a 6'2" guy
yeah.
that she would have clipped. And we see a big dent mm-hmm. on the back of her car.
Yeah.
You know, where the impact was, and a broken taillight.
Yeah.
So there's no way she wouldn't have known, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But did she check on him? That's one piece I do want to see.
And that's a piece that we don't have the car data yet showing that. Are we expecting to see that? Because that is still up in the air of if she, in fact, did do a drive-by to check on seeing if John was there. And I'm sure they'll argue another thing of maybe she thought she'd go to the party later or something. That if, in fact, we have data that shows that, but we're not there yet. We don't necessarily have data, though, that shows that she did do a drive-by yet, correct?
Correct. We okay. don't have it yet, but we'll see if it comes in. And okay. that's why I did put that caveat there.
Okay. Reed also calls Jen McCabe frantic, talking about her broken taillight and hitting him. Of course, we've heard that. Those calls, testimony, Reed's statement, physical evidence, and the video of the taillight and the cell data. Yep. They drove by the house where John was dead in a driving blizzard, and somehow Reed sees him and jumps out, pulls his shirt up, lays on him, and she does not call 911. This is another interesting piece. This is another piece where Alan Jackson was getting pretty testy with Jen McCabe the other day about it. And I thought this was ridiculous because it seemed they were going on in semantics for about a half hour of, well, you got out of the car. And you saw him? Basically, it was arguing in one testimony she said, she saw him when she got out of the car, or versus she got out of the car, walked towards where Karen was, and then saw him. The walking towards part doesn't seem to matter to me or anyone because it just doesn't matter. If you're reiterating the story to anybody, you may say you walked towards, you may say you're not. It's kind of implied, saying you got out of the car and headed that way and then you saw him. I don't see anything weird or incriminating about that statement, but it seems Alan Jackson was trying to go on that.
Yeah, he was trying to say, again, fault her for not making a quicker 911 call. In other words, you saw it. You were by the car. Why didn't you call right then?
She didn't know yet.
Yeah, he never saw the face by then. And this is what's amazing to me. I don't know if you remember earlier on, and I need to find this clip and I'll post it. But Karen Reed had always said, it was me who gave him CPR. I was the only one. And she makes a statement like that. I was the only one. Now we know that all three gave CPR. Jen McCabe gave CPR and Carrie Roberts, and that was all, again, her trying to aggrandize herself.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone who's been in this situation, and it reminded me of a crazy situation. I was driving to a tennis match. Mm-hmm. I stopped to get an energy drink and at this Quick Trip, and there was a guy, very thin build, you know, 40-year-old man maybe. And I said, hey, I'm just going to run to the cabinet and get a thing, because he was working in the aisle. And then I went to go pay and he wasn't there. And I'm like, sir, because I was in a big hurry. It was early in the morning. I said, I'm just leaving the $3 here. And then I go to leave. And as I stare out the window in the reflection, he was on the ground, foaming at the mouth.
Oh, God.
Obviously. Jump over the counter at the Hanks was the name of it. Jump over the counter. Immediately wiped the foam off of his mouth. And I know compressions are most important, but because he was foaming, I felt he needed breaths. I gave him 2 breaths and started CPR. Meanwhile, nobody else is there. I'm trying to call 911. Mm-hmm. I stop for a quick second, grab my phone. I'm dialing 911, pressing with one hand. It's a hectic, hot mess. Trying to get, you know, give CPR plus say what I'm saying. My point is, unless a person is in this type of situation, Tony, it is so hectic, and your first response is always to go to the person.
Yeah.
It's not to, I'm just going to call 911.
No.
You're going to evaluate.
Yeah.
Because how can you even relay information? Is he bleeding? Did he fall? You know, does he have a pulse? All that you need to evaluate first. And that's what I felt like all the ladies did.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't to call 911. And for him to make a deal out of that was really just shows me how little Alan Jackson has any understanding of an emergency situation.
Yeah, I mean, it really did not read well to anybody, I think. Anybody who's ever been in, and I'm sure there's at least a couple in that jury box that have been in a situation where there's a crisis. And it is a crisis for a reason. It's chaotic. It's why it's a crisis. And there isn't a perfect answer to anything at that moment. And of course, if you have the ability to help someone in that moment, you're the one there. Getting on the phone is not going to be the quickest way to help that person. But she did get on the phone, I think, relatively quickly for the situation. Once she realized what was going on, once there was someone that was assisting John as best they could, she found that open window to call 911 as quickly as she could. To argue the semantics of it just seem just ridiculous and kind of just heartless as well. It's very bizarre to me. Another weird note as we're talking about this, when you're in that moment, you're like, okay, what do I do? Do I go down and help? Do I call 911? I'm honestly, and I'm saying this kind of tongue in cheek, surprised Karen, being as grandiose as she is, and how she likes to have everybody kind of look at her as a victim, I'm surprised she didn't get out her cell phone and was like, see, John left me. He's in the snow dying. He's a horrible boyfriend. You know, I'm kind of surprised that didn't happen in a certain way. As people now we see half the time don't help, and it's just they're taking video of the situation. Yeah, I could see that being an option for her, but obviously that's not what took place.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.